that's a reinforce. If you don't want to use a tequila, then you can steal it. But the numbers for therapy is not going in there.
I heard you mention before about even just one spoonful of
that. Yeah.
And what about the children?
They don't need this. It's not how much is the medicine. It's a medicinal dose. What we call a medicinal dose is a teaspoon.
What about someone like me that's had alcohol problems? I should probably avoid that.
But not necessarily true. He knows how to cure people with alcohol problems by feeding them like that.
Joke.
Well,
I was there when it happened, when he said, yeah, I'm not
there. Also, in the States, you have to get FDA clearance for all these things to be accessible by the general public, so it takes a long time before you even get done for anything functional in society. A lot of people can't wait that long. But there in this Canada, they've been doing it on the research, and it was available. The one thing that was not obvious even in those studies was the time. Mm-hmm. I came into that the hard way because I was putting in the merchandise into my system and all times of the day, and only one effect, SLKCLU was also discovered that a thing would have its least effect or most effect on your body. What if not on the muscle? I said, okay. You said don't eat this at this time. Well, let's see what it does to the muscle. You got to do something to the muscle. You have to put in the mouth somewhere. So the stomach is a muscle too. And the heart is a muscle. So let's see what it'll do. And if you can get a reading, then we'd have something tangible to measure. We did get a reading. It was a time that made the difference. Now with equipment being developed in the States and other countries, to measure the time more accurately. What is doing in the body. So this gets more to realize that you can control the problems instead of being victim of the problems or merely wishing them away by sheer conviction and prayer. I'm not against any one of the methods, it's just that we don't have all that time to clean up ourselves. When we have so much wonderful things available to us, we could get on with the job much more without feeling struck and limited.
You're uptight about something, there you show me. I don't know.
So, knowing when to put it in releases the tension and allows you to decide in your head if you really have a need for it or not.
To figure that out, then I could probably use the find the day that I could take it. Even though it did have an alcohol base.
Yeah.
Now, on the bark flower, because it's a flower, how do you look at that?
It still has to come in the time of the day.
So
when the bark picked the flowers.
You picked the flowers when the dew was on them.
Right, when the dew was on them.
The dew was still on, so is that the time you would use them?
I would use them just at a phase-in time.
Phase in around 11:30.
That's when you would use it?
Around the phase in time.
That's
the time I would use it.
Incidentally, when he had Texas Institute of Reflexology talk, essentially homeopathy and Bach flower remedy, and at one time only three ergonomics machines way back.
All right.
He's done a lot of work. He uses that
Is that the same thing with these herbs now? As tea, used to drink them as tea.
Yes, the herbs got to grow.
Yeah.
And they grow high off the ground, or they grow right close to the ground, or they grow under the ground. Now, you'll notice your chart mentions here from 4 inches to 4.5 feet, 5 feet above the ground, anything from midday to 6:30. anything from 4 inches to 4 or 5 feet or 6 feet off the ground. Now, a sugar cane is not a tree, it's a grass. And it may grow 6 feet or 7 feet, but it's still a grass, botanically speaking. The high concentration of silicon around the outer core is insulated against the high intense rays while it's maturing inside. Now a tree like that one out there use leaves as a shut for, and if you look at the fruit on the tree, you'll see a fruit on the tree is like that. The bottom is bulging. That is because the maximal amount of fluid is here insulated against the direct rays of the sun. And then the leaves loop over them to act as an umbrella while they're maturing. And all fruits tend to ripen from the bottom up or from the top down. They ripen from the bottom up. They have to because they've been exposed to the sun. That's the way the relationship of the liquid in them. Now, years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who did some testing for me now to check out some data. I said to him, when an apple is green on a tree at one phase of light, the odor is ammonia. And at another phase of light, when the apple is just starting to get ripe, the odor is peppermint. That apple smells like peppermint. Up to that time, the bird, which is the hummingbird, and that's the one of Thomas, the worm does not attack the apple tree. But as soon as the light gets to a certain point and the odor is different, like malic acid, and the apple starts to ripen, the worm and the bird are racing for the apple now. Mm-hmm. So it came out like this, early worm gets the bird or early bird gets the worm. And we can always find when a worm gets in versus when a bird gets it in. On the actual fruit. That's the base. Nature's a comedian. She makes us the same here. And, right? So it's comical. It's so vulgar, but her laws, she doesn't care if you take it vulgar. That's the way she works. In here is the core coming in. Like that. Now, it feeds in the fluid. When the fruit is ready to change from peppermint to malic acid in odor, the worm climbs up the tree and waits. It says right here, the fruit. Then a worm is going to attack the fruit to get in, because he doesn't get it from this side. It's too silicon to kill it on the skin. So he waits, and this invariably opens like a rectum partially. It dilates as the pressure shifts, and he got to time it right. That instant of light on that specific day to be there to slip in before it closes back like the Red Sea of Moses. It's comical how this thing works in nature. But at the same time, the hummingbird is flying around there waiting to jump on him because she knows that the worm is getting up in there. Now, if the worm gets in before the hummingbird, you will never see a beak mark on the apple. Until you cut the apple, then you'll find a worm inside. You wonder how the hell he got in there. But that's what he said, his luck. The early bird got the worm? No, the early bird didn't get the worm. The worm got really stripped. So he's inside and he's safe. Now, if he didn't get through, and let's say he's three-quarter way in, and just have that much hanging out to get in, and the hummingbird will dart in, and the beak will catch him right there and pull him out. But the way she hits that thing and perforate and pull that worm out, the fruit invariably has a little spot there, and that's where it starts to break down. Now the farmer is going to lose most of his crop. He doesn't want to spray the fruit. And they spray the tree against bugs, but you can't spray the fruit against the worm and against the bird, because that will toxify the fruit. So what he does the spraying before to keep away the bugs from the leaves, and he picks the fruit at the level of what we call amylic acid being at the range of ammonia, not at the range of peppermint. Now, I told my friend about the chocolate at the time, I said, this is what you're going to find in different lights. He said, that doesn't make sense. How can light affect the odor of a plant, let alone a fruit like an apple? He said, it will, and you will find that when you cut up that apple, every time, you're only going to find one crystal at one time, then it crystals. It's a big argument for a while, but then he said, okay, I'm writing up for a grant that does some research, research, botanical research in government, and I'm writing for this test. I'm testing. So he got the money to do a site testing. And one farmer gave him an orchard to work with there in Carolina. So he would go and get the apples, green ones, cut them open, and get frustrated. The ammonia was very strong. But no ammonia crystals in the apple, they're all milic crystals. We all register milic in this. He waits again till the tree produces the fruit bigger, and you can smell the peppermint odor. He takes a whole batch of it and cuts them open, pulverizes it, milic crystal. Finally, when the fruit is really supposed to be the odor of an apple, and you know the odor of an apple, you smell it, that's an apple odor. Cut it open, made it crystals. So he admitted, he says, no ammonia crystals, no peppermint crystals exist in an apple except millet crystals that gives the illusion of three different odors in three different stages of ripening. But he has found that if you pick it green, and let it go through the process of ripening to the full stage where it smells like an apple, two things happen. One, the apple has a tendency to be slightly toxic to the body when you fed it to guinea pigs, versus if you allow it to stay on the tree and fed it, the guinea pig didn't react. But when it picked it before and let it ripen, the first reaction was the guinea pig didn't want it. Even though it was ripe, the guinea pig didn't want it. And there was a reaction of the guinea pig getting sleepy. That was the next thing. They'd eat it, then he'd force them, and they'd eat it, and they'd get sleepy. So now he realized why tree ripening fruits are better. But think of the loss to the farmer. Now, how can you prevent that? So the Mormons, when they came to this country, they had a way to prevent that from a big loss. In all their groves, and I was up in the Mormon city in Utah, and they were growing fruits. They had what is called a wild acre. Let's say a man had 100 acres. An out of the 100 acres, he took out one and made it 5 acres. So he has 99 growing acres and one wild acre. And he let trees grow there wild. And the birds will come, and the worms will come, and they'll feast out of the area. And the other 99 acres, he would not be bothered by the birds, he wouldn't be bothered by the worms, and he would reap off of it.
Okay, in relationship to our body during the fermentation process, let's say potato, which, you know, once it's done, it becomes alcohol. Unless there's a special situation, could you come up and to kill me? Could you tell me just one more time what the zones would be like in your specific?
You have rectal problems, you can have catarrh or mucus formation in the rectal area or in the lower colon and in the genital areas, and you have abrasions, and you'll find like they even make alcohol out of potato, which is called a vodka, and you make it out of beets. And these are all from the nighttime use, and they are beneficial to or flushing and cleaning the body.
So it would take him it would be natural during the recovery time.
That's right. That wild acre concept is tithing to God. That was how they started their tithing to God and give the animals and the birds or the insects a chance to feed themselves. And then they have 99 acres themselves. And that's how they began. Now, this process is going on in your body. If you assign some little degree of toxicity to the mechanism, and 99% of the time towards purism, your body will start phasing and working to your benefit. But if you take all 100 and put it on purification, and not leave none for toxicity, what's going to happen with those toxins? That's what they start piling back up. So.
I'm in good shape, and I got plenty of parasites in there. Keep those birds and bugs busy.
So the answer to the earth key was to make it into the
trees. Yeah, right. In the middle of the day, part of how they grow, the height they grow. So the highest. Some of them grow very high, about this high in the bush. Others grow this high.
Just so mostly not in the morning.
Right, exactly. High is in the morning, just for the middle of the day.
Bottom is at night. Root teas at night.
Root teas. Root teas are at night, yeah.
Like valerian stuff.
All the root teas. So you see, but if you read any herbal book, they always recommend root herb for night problems.
Yeah.
But they never made a connection that you're actually saying time cycle. Mm-hmm. But the observation was there by the Oriental people in the herbology. And now, the time of Solomon, now to today's time, it's the time when these things are going into the reference of the organs themselves. All right. In the body, we notice that the organs are set the same way. They have to be fed and they have to be cleaned. And if you can feed them and clean them with the fruit, it's the only type of food that nature provides as a cleaning routine in all three light cycles. She provides pineapple in a light cycle, which we call the bromeliad, and it's not a tree nor a vine. She provided the grapes, the melons, berries for the middle of the day on a vine. Imagine walking through a watermelon orchard and a watermelon growing on a tree. It won't last too long, right? You won't get too much watermelons.
Newton would have been killed.
Right.
Law of gravity.
Right.
That's true. Or watermelon papayas that grow on trees.
And that's a papaya. and then you have the other ones growing on trees. See? But yeah, in the morning, the real cleansing of the body from the overnight eating is in the morning. That's the time you want to clean the body. So if you're eating your fruits and nuts in the morning, you're setting the tolerance and you're setting the cleansing routine. Then from then on, your whole body starts to, you know, perform. In the middle of the day, you eat your heavy meal, and then you can phase off towards the afternoon with some light food. Like yesterday, we had small food in the afternoon. And then nighttime, again, you have a semi-heavy meal, and phase off again with the light food. So that keeps the rhythm, and you're not overeating. It's just a quantity within the context of protein, carbohydrate, mineral, vitamin, and then basically.
Suppose you can't get pineapple, so high pineapple. I guess you can't pineapple.
Can't pineapple is all right. Remember one thing, let me explain something about eating in a time cycle versus the actual food, being it fresh, canned, or you're dealing with the formation of the food to the light. This is what you're dealing with more. The fresh food has a value. The cooked food has a value. So, but the time cycle takes precedent over it. That's what the highest value. So even if you can get a fresh pineapple and you have a problem, instead of suffering with a problem, take the can for a pineapple with its own natural juice and use it because in the time cycle. That's what it was designed for in the first place. Within its own time cycle to phase down diseases of that time cycle. You're not going to find diseases that are manifesting in the body out of time cycle. They're all manifesting out of time cycle in fast and slow. All diseases don't have only one pattern. See, they're either too fast or too slow. And first thing the doctor asks when he checks you, you're going to check pressure. Then the pressure is high, he's going to look for all the list of diseases that he knows of high pressure. Then if you correspond to one of these symptoms of high pressure, that's the type of disease you have. And which organ would be on? You can't do anything more than index it like that. Then if it comes to a low pressure, he's going to look for the symptoms of, and then all the diseases of the low pressure are indexed. So you're saying to yourself now, I have hypoglycemia. Yeah. Oh, my pressure is low. And you stop right there. Never realizing respiration is involved in pressure. Now when you realize that the yogis knew that a long time, they didn't have too many equipment. They only equipped to walk around with something like this. A pendulum to check an organ. Then okay, learn to shift your breathing. Move it back and move it back. Do your yoga postures. Right. Because what they're trying to do? Restore timing in the breathing techniques. As you begin to understand it more, you realize that you are correcting the problem, and once you know what your problem is, then you will build the exercises around that to correct it. Follow? So otherwise you wouldn't build exercises around it. I have to find mine, so I build exercises to around my type of breathing to restore it. So in the clock here, you check always in the morning when you wake up to see which nostril you're breathing in or out. And the quickest way is to blow the air out like that and see which nostril is the strongest. Right. Blow it up. Biological clock time now is half past four, right? Half past three, that's the biological clock time.
Biological time or daylight savings?
This is daylight savings, so it would be biological time at 2:30. Right. Your biological time right now is 2:30. Not 3, Turkey. That they only move the clock to match economics. Don't go fool yourself. So your biological clock right now is at the 2:30 rhythm. Now if you look at your body in the biological clock at 2:30, you're going on to 3. You should be in what nostril? From 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Right now you should be in your left.
Correct.
You should be in your left nostril, in your biological time. So you must be in your left nostril, has to be stronger than the right nostril.
What are you telling us the chart? Where's it on the chart?
Well, here's how you check it out. Each organ in the chart has 2 hours. You notice that? Good. Okay. The first hour is the right nostril, and the second hour is the left nostril. Now, if you're coming in too slow or coming in too fast, that's where your problem will be. Now, this being two logical time, which nostrils would you be in if you look at the clock? Biological clock is each organ has 2 hours.
Yes.
All right, you see it there? Now, between midday to 1 p.m.
Small.
No, the heart, and then from 1 p.m. to 2 o'clock is the small intestines, right? Uh-huh. And from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock is still the small intestines.
Yeah. Right.
So from 1 to 2, you should be in the right nostril of the small intestines. From 2 to 3, you should be in the left nostril of the small intestines. Do you read it now?
Oh, each organ has a right and left.
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay, so first, the first part of the organ is the right nostril. The second part of the organ is the left nostril.
Correct, that's what we call it.
Why?
The ascending and descending function of the respiratory movement in the body.
Same with the heart.
Yes, it must follow this. The heart follows the lungs. See, if the lungs don't set the pressure, heart can't pump. Everything begins with the lungs.
So then in the beginning, the lung is going to be on the right side breathing and the left side?
Yes, at 3 a.m. in the morning, when you wake up, biological clock time, and you blow the air on your handle to test your biological clock to see if you're synchronized. At 3 a.m. when you get up, it should be on the right side, very strong. And exactly at 4 o'clock, it should start switching over to the left side. Then you're on time. But if it switches over too soon, before 4, you are hyper. If it switches over too late, it's hypo. And you have a difference of 10 minutes in forward or back.
That should be now local mean time, of course. So you might, there's about 5 minutes variation in this place that everyone understands. The sun is
okay,
the highest.
So you're allowing yourself a 10-minute variance on the right nostril to the left nostril when you wake up and check this, because that's the time you're supposed to be getting up to test yourself to meditate. Nature forces you to wake up to meditate, but we don't do it. And in the Eastern country, the philosophers used to call that the God time, and in modern technology we call that the biological timing of the body, which is already God time, because God had to time the mechanism before he put it to run. See, when he put the air inside of you, he timed the mechanism and turned you loose. And so that's basically our way of timing this mechanism. So when we come now and check it to see if we are back on our biological time, which is our health, which is our rhythm, the nature, that's what the synchronicity or the word union, getting back in union with what? Environment. Environment is God, you are God. If the two aren't synchronized or unified, what have you got? Discordance, right? So if you have a discordance, it's got to come at right here as the point of reference. There's no other point of reference to find the discordance. So you can find it right away where the discordance is. It's in the nostril. So if you wake up at 3, you get a blowout, is on the right side, exactly, biologically in the area of it, you're on time.
Will both of them be strong at the same time ever?
No, one is stronger than the other. All is stronger. Always. Only at depth are they equal.
Only at death are they equal. That's true.
Well, they have been equal.
Everything's equal then, right?
So everything is equal then. But as long as you live, you have yin, yang, up and down, and you have constriction, dilation.
So if they both come out feeling the same, you're dead.
No. If you're still living and you're coming out, and you went dead,
you're not born.
You're experiencing the next level of what they call suspended animation or samadhi. And samadhi, that's where it can occur. Mm-hmm. Air is even the other. So Paul is saying to you, I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. I can experience this in and out rhythm of the respiratory movement in its even state. And that's where the real joy is, because once you there is no fluctuation, there is no oscillation, mm-hmm. and the evenness is the pure bliss. Mm-hmm. So eventually you become that particular force field. So any kind of experience that allows you to alter the consciousness will put you in an evenness. So these are natural laws that you're going to be afraid of, only they've never been brought down to the nitty-gritty of it so that you can cope with it. It's always been in a nebulous range. But now you understand you can handle it. You wake up, blow out, there it is, obvious, you're timing yourself. If it's too fast, you're going to have the problems of hyper. The pressure is going to be hyper or too fast. If it's too slow, you have the problems of hypo or the pressure is too slow.
It changes
every hour on the hour.
And it goes from night to night.
Right through that.
What if you've got like 8 feet or something like that?
Well, then it will delay itself to go 1 hour and a half or 2 hours.
That's what I've got.
So this is the hypo. It's coming in too slow because it's blocking.
Right. I'm blocked up. Like at night, I just block up. Both nostrils block up at night. And I can't breathe unless I use something to block it.
So you want, are you blocked up right now?
Well, this one is, yeah, it's totally blocked. It's only right.
Emergency release.
The one on the floor? Or is the one
yeah,
on
the one. The one.
How about the one
which
on the
floor? Which one's blocked up?
Left one's locked up. Emergency sinus point. You want to just release
it. Lie down on. This is the only way I know to do it. Lie on this side.
Emergency sinus point. You can release
it. Well, you can do it from that too. Well, let's try it that way. Lie down flat then. And we'll just try it. Okay, the one on the left side is blocked. But I stimulate then the one on the opposite side, right, to get it going. The one on the same side? Okay, on the black side.
Yes, it's right. You opened up Bahamas. Very good. You opened Bahamas up.
That's real reflexology.
Yes. Compadre.
He brings more instrumentation because he doesn't believe what he sees. He brings more because he doesn't believe that. And then he tells him that the field switches every hour. He measures that, and then to his amazement, that happens too. And he's scratching his head trying to figure out.
He says, the only thing that's positive and negative is you're talking to your mother. Don't tell me you got a positive negative. He said, I put it on my tongue, it's positive, but the buttocks is negative. He said, you tell me other parts are negative. I said, yeah, they are. He said, you're ready for the book. When he was convinced in his own machine, he said, this will be a totally new understanding of the body for him. It was wonderful.
So the winter time is the correct time?
Huh?
The winter time is the correct time. I can never figure out when they change.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah, that's right, that's right.
Yes, right.
Winter time is
right. Winter time is the right time to stay on. So your biological clock is set.
And she keeps her watch on biological time, as does the dog.
Really?
She's
so
at Houston Biological right now.
If it's three...
Just go back and up.
I know.
It's really an hour.
It's 2:43. Right now it's 2:43 biological time. Biological time is 2:43.
2:43.
And the small intestine comes out from the
bladder. Right. So that's your biological time right now. 2:43.
This is a
5-minute
difference.
No, that would compensate for the hearing of 3 minutes.
You can, if you want to figure it real exact.
Yeah, okay. Because I was thinking that, like, I'm still confused. So the clock says 3 o'clock.
I know.
And here is actually.
Well, that's because we're dealing there with economical time now.
I know, it'd be 2 o'clock. But then would it be? You could be actually 1:55.
You can put it 2:05.
2:05, okay.
Approximately. That's what it's in Santa Barbara. Well, we're inland a little bit. Very, very.
Yeah.
We're the same as Santa Maria right now.
Oh, well, then that's pretty much by the
minutes. We're exactly over Santa Maria.
Oh, really?
I thought we'd
count it. For 5 minutes.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry about 5 minutes.
You know what? I'd
worry about.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like he says actually at another level it's energy. One nostril to the other nostril, each one, and you know, now are positive, now are negative. Yeah, and this is a question that I've been thinking about for a while. Because I'm wondering if you can think about these things in the sense that the body is not real.
And get away with it. But look at their horoscope and see that the way they are set up. They're getting away with it in a certain time. Now they're allowed to get away with it. When the time comes, they have to pay for it. Now what would you do when you got yours now? I saw that many times with people that they've tried to do a lot of things. And they did do a lot of things, but out of cycle. And when they did get sick, they were the ones who said, why me, why me? I said, God, like I see you, why not you? And the person who is busy trying to correct and stabilize and watching it, when he overcome all of the obstacles and was able to function rationally, he would look at the other person and say, how come? Well, I'll tell you something. This is a personal experience with myself, a friend of mine. When I left Canada, and I lived in Canada, I have a buddy of mine, very wonderful big man. And he was I traced the scroll, and he was an actual descendant of the house of David, from the line of Jesus. And he had evidence to prove that he was saved from that house of Mary and the family of Joseph all the way down to his family. As a boy growing up, he never had no aches and pains in his body. Totally a healthy specimen. And the only pain he had is when the Canadian government called upon him. He was a teacher of the Rangers. He taught the unarmed combat because he was trained in that. He lived in the area when he came back. He was teaching unarmed combat to the American Canadian soldiers. The time came to go to DF. When his mother passed away, his father passed away except his mother. His father passed away, and his mother always says, son, if you have a broken heart, you don't have to kill nobody. But if you have a closed mind and a closed heart, you may end up having to kill people. So go ahead, I have no fear for you. She went into the Derby's Rangers and study. And when the time came for him to go to Dieppe, they had to have a meal before they took on the plane, to go up on the plane, to go fly over the airport. And he came along, and the chef handed him his name aside, hey, Sonny, here's a hamburger for you. And threw it, and he caught it. And he didn't realize it had a toothpick, holding the two pieces of bread and the meat, and he bit into it. And stuck it to the chop. Well, you can imagine what happened. They had to rush him to the hospital clinic and work him. So he was deprived of going to Dieppe. No, Dieppe. It's in World War II, right off of the France, where they were landing the paratroopers in France. So he didn't get to go to Dieppe. He was put away into the emergency ward, and then he left there. That was the only injury he had to his body. And the rest of the time, when he got well, instead of being in the front line, the doctors needed a man to move stretchers and said, you're assigned for the stretcher work. And here's this big athlete, and the guy used to really a lot of polo and everything, and he's carrying soldiers on stretchers. We met years after, and he was always working out, and he's always telling me, he says, Adano, since I've known you and you broke up your bone, you always seem to have aches and pains periodically. He says, yes. I said, but it's a benefit to me because it develops my immune level. He says, well, I never had any ache and pain except that one. I said, sonny, what I suggest to you if you want to stay healthy and alive is periodically create a pain in your body. He said, man, that's foolish. Create a pain in my body? I love it too much. He says, think of it. Because too pure, no pain, no aches, eventually it loses its immunity to food. Well, not to make the story too long, he got sick one day while we were working in the steel mills. And he got to lose weight, and he couldn't control it. He tried everything to stop the weight loss. He went to the doctors, and whatever the doctors told him must have scared him. And he came back to me and said, I'm going on a long fast to clean up my body. I said to him, I said, that's not your real need, son. You need to get some pain in your body. Your body is too clean. The more fast it is going to clean up what is there. It needs to get a little dirty. Oh no, man. I don't need that. I'm gung-ho for meditation, clean living. Non-meat-eating, non-touch nothing, playing like myself, trying to be 100% non-meat-eating. He was too pure. Not even a donut would entice him. And one day, he called me on the phone and told me, could I see you? I said, yeah, the time, around 6 o'clock. I said, good. The time I got there, was I opened the door, couldn't believe my eyes. Did that to himself. And he left me a little note. He says, I refuse to suffer. But here was a healthy specimen of a man who didn't want to take the responsibility of feeling the ache and pain in the body to rebuild. Then it taught me a great lesson about my own body. And I looked back at the aches and pains, and I said, yeah, this at least has a value, amount of toxicity. So you know what I did? I went out, and I went to the nearest liquor store, and I got me a bottle of rum to remind me what my dad did to me, to cure me of drinking as a kid. 13 years of age, you got to wrestle with your dad and prove you're a man. So I wrestled him and pinned him down. I said, okay, son. And he opened a bottle, I said, in South America, a bottle of rum, and a big box of cigars, little one, pretty puff, boy, puff, pour the rum, and pink. What he was trying to do is knock me out to really quickly, and there I puffed this drink, and then, I was knocked out drunk like that. Then I said, never again, I got to touch alcohol and smoke cigarettes. He was curing me of toxicity like that, see? Here I come along and see my friend, don't do any of these things. I said, hey, man, you know, it makes sense. So I grabbed a hold of the bottle and I poured it, I sat down in the room and I said, I'm going to get toxic as hell.
To decide the day of conception, and then you have to decide the day you want it to be born. And then study that chart and see what are the problems involved in the period of conception and the period of birth. Then if it's not ideal, you've got too much stress and problems, then you can shift to which one is more ideal. to give the child a chance to cope, and then that allows the parents to build up their own immunity levels. But you can't take out all the confrontations. That's not going to be helpful for the child either. But you want to give it minimal confrontations so that they can get a better opportunity to cope with life and move on to something better. But come on. Then again, it's in the 12 signs of the zodiac, 4 of those signs are designed by nature to confront things. 4 are designed to be sedated by things. And 4 are designed to be played in a way like a juggler. Well, all the fire signs are designed to confront things. And earth signs are sticking out there.
Isn't that an astrology that shows which points do you are allergic to and which point you're not? Does that sort of change the sign?
Yes, but we don't teach it right now until you understand your own patterns that you're working with, because you have to be born within a certain time in your own chart to be vulnerable to it, and what foods in your chart that would make you toxic or not. So if you know what time you're born, that will tell us a lot of things about yourself. And that's medical astrology, where we're dealing with your own time lapse to your own health. Now, do you know what time you're born?
24 a.m.
In the morning or evening?
Mm-hmm.
So, you're born in hard times. So, your strongest organ is your gallbladder. Your weakest organ is the heart. The organ you're born in, the time you're born in, is the one that gets the most stress, because you have to break through the field to come into the atmosphere, and since there's no atmosphere but atmosphere, which is the actual correct understanding, the body is pushing the pressure out, 14 pounds pressure per square inch, to enter. Therefore the pineal gland or 1,000 petal lotus or chakra, and these are all names for what? The interfacing docking point with the mama's spacecraft, docking with the atmosphere for the first time. You see, you were a spacecraft inside of mama, and you came in on hard time, that particular frequency. So you're pushing with the greatest stress to come out, so you overwork the hard time to come out. So the opposite organ would be the strongest organ, the gallbladder. So tendency to too much pressure on the heart will build up quicker in you than a person who is born in another time. So foods that will aggravate you more would be daytime foods between lunchtime and supper time, than nighttime foods or morning foods. Because that's the time he's born in. Yeah, so.
Oh, I see, so it includes noon to
one.
Okay, right. I see. So the afternoon foods are more of an aggravation to him, because that's his weakest period he's entering. His strongest period is nighttime. So when do you feel strong? When you eat at night or when you eat in the daytime? Night. You get more pep, more ready to go. That's the fact. Mine was the reverse. I was born in gallbladder time. So I even had my gallbladder removed. So I thrive on foods in the middle of the day, much more than those at night. So I gotta watch what I eat at night.
So you're born between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., huh? If I was born, well, I was born at 4:33, so that's long and ladder, but I gotta watch out.
That's
right. What about the savings time? If they're born in summertime, it would be different than winter time, it would be now at that, right?
Well, even so, you'll be close to that proximity.
Can you go through, like you gave fire signs, confront things? Can you give the other three?
All right, the fire sign is the aggressive signs, right?
Right.
No, the passive ones will be what?
Earth, maybe?
No.
What?
Water signs are the passive ones, right? Air is the in between, right? Earth is the adamant type. They're very adamant. They don't want to. You push me, and I can push you back. You see. Right. Right. Those are earth signs. They're very adamant.
See?
So the earth sign and fire sign gets along very good. Water sign and air sign get along very good. And periodically, water and earth will get together. And periodically, fire and air will get together. But these are periodics. Now the food is the same ratio, and the illness is the same ratio. So that's why you find that they were able to pinpoint these things. But each one of us is different in the time you're born. So you have to know your time you're born to find which one you're born.
So these in this...
Yeah. Being 11 and 1.
So it stands for South, this stands for South End or?
So these.
So down there you have Leo's.
See, when I was ready to leave my country, it was funny. I went to see my teacher who taught me tailoring as a boy. And then he says, well, you're leaving us. I say, I'm going up to study radio engineering. He says, well, that's all right. He says, what do you think? What should I do? He says, your destiny is to go to the red man's land. And there you will learn what to do when you don't want to do. And now he says, I love you as a son. Don't think of me as a somebody you left behind. Always think I'm always where you think I am. And that was his attitude to life. And we hugged each other the day. Then I was ready to leave and get on the plane and see my dad and mom. They always says, you know, we don't have that kind of parting like other people. Where you gotta wait till we die to get an inheritance. We give you the inheritance to go spend it. So whatever you do, don't come back to us. This is your share. Take it. If you squandered, too bad. What we offer you and give you is what we know best to survive. What you do with it, that's your own destiny. So we're leaving to go to America. You know, you have to make mistakes and you have to learn from it.
15. And when did you get on
the path? Huh? Officially, I didn't get on the path until I was living in Canada in 1945. I'd studied all kind of writings and books and theosophies and everything. I was looking for 100 books of God.
100? Why specifically 100?
Because I knew somewhere somebody compiled 100 books on God. In my consciousness, I know the 100 books I was looking for. So in 1945, I was sitting down and I broke. I said, this is ridiculous. Here I come to this part of the world, stone broke, and I am pursuing all my money thrown away in the philosophy, metaphysics, religious ideas. I'm not one penny in how to be practical to survive. And all I had was $3 left. And so here I had this picture of Yogananda in front of me. I guess I wasted my time. So turn over my bed and fell asleep. And in Canada, the houses are built not with glass windows, but these are frames, windows that turn in. Cover the glass, like shutters, they come in and cover the glass to protect the glass so anybody throw rocks. So I pulled in the thing and locked it. And then I went to bed, there's one door and one window, the bed is there. And just about midnight to 1 o'clock, see, I quiver, I open my eyes,
I saw a kind of a, you ever see firefly in the night? This just makes a ball. It moved, and I followed it, and it was getting bigger, the size of it. I said, no, that's not a firefly. Somebody's playing jokes. Well, but then how can we get the flashlight to come in the house? Now all the windows are sealed up. I'm looking for the phone. It's moving, moving. And finally it came to the little table where I had this picture there, this light. And rather I see this face of the man who opens. The eyes are looking. It was my first encounter. Right, you know, you're trying to be, you're dreaming of that. Oh, come on, wake up, you're doing everything. And only the eyes are talking, not the mouth. That's the funny part. And the eyes are saying, none come to the Father but I am. Oh, that's Christ. Can't be this now. It phased off. But then I was in a state of elation and joyousness all through morning. Couldn't sleep. I was in this elated state. Next morning I got up and I head downstairs and went looking for a job. But again, something says go into the bookstore that was under this place. And I'm looking around for Popular Mechanic magazine because I figured Popular Mechanic would have some way to give me an insight to what it's needed to do. And I reached up for the magazine and there was a book. It fell over as I hit it, and it fell over my desk. I thought, so I picked it up to put it back, and turned over to put it back, and said, and there's the same face inside the book. I said, hey, wait a minute. Well, the same face I saw last night. So I ran over to my friend who won the store. I says, hey, can I buy this book? It's $3.50. I only got $2. Never mind. We'll be buying here a lot. Forget about it. Take it. In those days, autobiography, the word, all the smooth glass finish type, you know, the flat background, this small, this wide, all glass, every page was glass, because the original books that came out in 45. And I read that book from beginning to end, couldn't put it down. And then I was finished, I said, shucks, this guy's lying, he ain't dead. I gotta find a moment of sort of write him. So I wrote a letter and I asked him, how can I know more about his works? The letter came back very simple. There I am. Not coming to the file, but I need I'm happy to accept him as a student. Accept you as a sign for Hamsa Yogananda. Wow. Then I got up, I finished reading the letter. Still I didn't get a job yet. I said, well, I'm going to go downstairs again. It's a 2 days had passed when this had happened. I read the book and everything, wrote the letter, come back. It was only a week now. I just received the letters. And I'm walking down, and someone said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm not looking for a job. He says, you can get one up the road up there. They need a guy to work in the kitchen. Chef, Chinese restaurant up the road needs a guy. Yeah? I said, okay. I went over to the guy. I said, I'm looking for a job. Hey, you need a chef. He says, yeah. Can you do this type of cooking? You have a little menu. I say, yeah. Okay. Let's go. Went into work. Then I started saving the money and I started to write this out and take the course. So I'm taking the course after a few weeks. Then a letter comes back and says, prepare yourself for initiation. I don't know how the hell you prepare yourself for initiation. At such and such a date, there's a convocation going on in California, and they're having a big initiation. And on that particular day, that particular time. So what I did was, I look at the time of the clock, and I figured, well, that's going to be California time, it'll be night time. So I took a bath, washed myself clean,
So Dharma father would take care of them. So the other day, she said, okay, we're ready for mission. In a few minutes, I felt somebody, a big, huge storm, punk out of my head. Well, to this day, it's still like somebody sticking a thumb right through my head. And I felt this sensation, and my eyes start flaring up, hearing all these sounds and seeing these lights. I thought, oh. But actually, for 7 days, walking in this state of awareness, I'm regulating the world. The world is regulated by just watching. The moment that I see an object coming to me, I can actually sense what it would do and what it wouldn't do. And in my mind, my logical mind is saying, don't do that, you're going to get an accident, don't do that, you're going to get an accident. And it didn't stop it. The object just kept moving and smashed into something. I walked down the road and I see people running to each other. And I say, I can see what's going to happen. And I'm saying to my wife, no, don't do that, don't do that. And she showed, they run and bump each other. And this goes on for a while. It was really freaky out that you don't seem to have control over anybody slamming into each other or any object hitting. They gotta go do it. And then the moment I quit analyzing it, it phased down. It became natural that it was going on. And then it stopped after the 7 days, and I decided on it. Meditate some more. And then I decided to write him as I wasn't getting more meditation, after meditation. I wrote him the letter, I said, I would write to know where I can buy 100 books of God. And then he wrote me back and said, what is all the knowledge and all the books in comparison to 50 minutes silence in the soul? And it took me about 18 years to find out what 50 minutes silence in the soul versus 50 minutes silence in your mind. You can do 50 minutes silence in your mind, but 50 minutes silence in the soul is a vast different thing altogether, but you don't know that you're going through it. It's very, very wonderful.
5 seconds of silence in my mind. Eating like this up there helps silence the thoughts of the mind.
It's, when you try to balance out, you know, hopefully it doesn't sound like it's going to be a super good thing. It's just been hearing it from all of a sudden.
No, no, no. The old method of using the toy for what it's made, that's not sprouted, that could do that if you stay too long on it. It'll slow down, make you crave other foods or inhibit the iron in the body. But once it's sprouted, the calcium and the iron and the protein has increased. So it doesn't matter if you don't make a toy, cheese out of it, sprout the soybean and eat it if you want to eat it. But the way this person makes it is a doctor friend of mine. They have already learned the technique of how to sprout it in the place where they do it. And so I get it from them in quantity to supply all my friends, because I know the problem with the toy food is without being a sprout, you don't have high iron, high calcium and high protein. And in this way now it's available. And so we're trying to get Margie here to give it to, so she can distribute it here in this area. So we've got a big case of it. Nighttime your beets are high in iron. Your yam, sweet potato, higher in iron. The red radish is higher in iron. What are those little red radishes? No, the little red radish? The purple onion. Yes, that's what I'm talking for nighttime now. The bottom of the purple cabbage is at night. So you use the bottom of the purple. So that gives you your iron. In the daytime, you got the cabbage, the top of the purple cabbage. You have the rhubarb. You have the raisins, the grapes. Spinach, chard, your beans,
comfrey.
Your kale has a lot of iron. Kale. Romaine lettuce has a lot of iron. Your bitter cucumber. Bitter cucumber is called bitter cucumber. Nobody likes it. But it's high in iron.
So we should eat it
now. Yeah. Eggplant is high in iron. Your strawberries are high in iron. You have your grapes?
Yes.
Okay. Blueberries.
They're so high in iron.
And now in the daytime, you have your dates, your figs. Or in the middle of the day too, you have molasses. I'm sorry, molasses in the middle of the day. Middle of the day is molasses. They come from the sugar cane.
But the one from sorghum?
Sorghum, yeah, that's all cane. Yeah. Well, in the morning, you have your figs, your prunes. Avocado. Your nuts, especially the almond. Plantain. That's the opposite of the banana. It's more iron than. Banana has iron, but iron has a plantain. And maple syrup has iron. The cherries have iron.
Black olives.
Black olives, yes. Good morning food. Cherries have vitamin C and they have iron.
So do you have to drink olive oil in the morning because it's from the olive?
Olive oil is a neutral oil.
Oh,
it's the only oil you can put it outside, it goes right through the skin to the bloodstream. And the only oil you can put on the it goes from outside to inside or inside to outside. It's a neutral oil, it goes right through the skin. No, it's neutral. It can be used morning, noon, and night. That's why it's neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just go by this chart and we're all...
In Tel Aviv, that's the way it is. Because. Yeah, after chicken comes first, you can't have vegetables first,
you have all the child.
Right.
So if I just work with this diet and everything, and
yes, because then your body will start freezing up. It will present to you the traumas as the other memory bank for you to face it off.
Face it, yeah. And then I just start taking medication.
Alright. So, back to the vision.
Easy to get on with the game, make it work. Then all the other things that you learn start filtering as a song. Icing on the cake. You first gotta know how to make that cake and bake it, otherwise, it ain't gonna work. Right?
Yeah.
So I picked the last line of all the sciences. And look, that's nutrition. One thing that even science now is coming back to the bottom line of health. We tried everything. After the fact, we keep the basis.
Solid nutrition does not tell you to quit eating anything.
That's number one. It doesn't advocate abstinence. Neither it doesn't advocate overindulgence. It's merely points out when a thing goes into your body. The body is designed to handle the body is comprised of 144 minerals, elements. Our universe is made up of 144 elements. So, the body is a miniature model. That's what's so unique. Now, the universe is going to be here for a long, long time since God has been about the business. And he put himself in his miniature model, that's us. He intends to make sure that we don't know the business either. So, he's hoping that we will use the ego to arrive at this result, which is immortality. Proving he is in us. That's the way to put this image on the bottom line. What is he trying to prove by creating the universe and infusing his beingness into us, his fresh bones, giving us individuality? And what is this individuality? You can only exemplify in a sense of immortalness. We are immortal in consciousness already. We can't erase that. But are we immortal in the biological medium, the biological frame? We wouldn't be here if we hadn't read out the biography of the universe. And the end result, even the churches, we wouldn't be here. It's not the non-decaying. That's what the church has to do. It defies what the enemy can talk to Jesus. It's the bottom line. What is it? Then we look around in nature. The butterfly, the caterpillar, is the reminder of the nature. This cell working its way on its own level, not a perfect animal. Don't feel your left out in the process. The more you look at it, the more you climb up the ladder of consciousness, the more you gain life. how long they're going to do it.
So on the treasure, very far reaching, today we're going into the biggest part. Very first rule. Comes from a very old research on the beginnings of this part. Little. Is medicine. Or system. Too much. That's the very first basic rule. And I'll underline certain words so that you've got a true picture of this. Anything? Set us. Little. The word little. Very generalized. And we get down into the specific effects of little hazard. One. Gram. Three. So you see, one grip is not something, it's anything. The word anything includes everything. In the general state, not a specific understanding, anything is all. There is nothing left out. There's not a single element. Because the body is on private. 12 basic minerals that must have a function. And 4 basic gases makes us a 60-minute body. All the rest is traced. Traced in the sense that we will speak. So sometimes you see a kid stick his hand in the mud and pull it in his mouth. What do you do with him? Innately, he's kind of there to get a little grip. Something that you have to watch him. Sorry. And too much is toxic. That's too much of that grip. You'll notice a little has a purpose, only one purpose, the medicine. That's why that purpose. You don't say a little is for your health. The wise men, when they discovered the guru, they very specific in their language, but we would never really understanding them in such a general way. It is for medicine only, and medicine simply means stabilize and balance, medicate. How many more? So you're starting to be more exact. The person who is credited for this discovery, I call him Confucius. It means Confucius. Corny in the sense because it makes a lot of people get angry themselves. He's Confucius was credited with that discovery. Many, many years went by after his uncovering of it, an experiment and research in a whole list of works in Oriental countries that he got. testing. And what would it test? The substances, all true centers, until it found something wrong. Then came the second group. Specific time is motion. We use this ruler called a watch to measure the motion of the planet, the liver, rotating on its axis 360 degrees, 24 hours. And you call it a day. You'll notice from the time we start. Certain words are going to have a different sense of how to do it and you're accustomed to it later. Like yesterday, I said, you're moving on. You wouldn't be sitting here if you weren't as busy. That's the idea. We want a more dynamic use of the word. We don't want the whole way of using the word tend to read it will be brain you off for that find me like me. And God says, why not you? Okay. So there is a time and that's motion. Condition like place. The longitude and latitude and the galactic position. You're in. We're on Earth. We have on Venus, we have on Mars. We have a specific galactic point of reference, always to the sun. Until Yukta Shwar came along, no one ever thought that the sun went around half a centaur. Everybody didn't stay there and just the Earth went around it, right?
Right.
Good. Now we find out that the sun and its own system are moving around Alex in the park. And that also is moving on. Really, he has opened the doors from 1800 to now. In space.
And season is only temperature. Temperature of area of how close where it gets to the sun rays or how far it gets away. So you find cold temperature is called winter. Hot temperature is called summer. Medium temperature is called spring. And cool is the fall season. And then you're measuring it into another ruler called thermometer, right? These are actually rulers that you're using to measure. And when you come to a baby that's got to live in different temperatures, it's going to have different reactions. So you are exposed. But it says for everything, it isn't for something. If it was for something, then solar nutrition is not right there. It would have a foundation. You see what I'm saying? Time, place, and decision for everything. So nothing is wrong. Every single thing follows.
And the man who's accredited for this discovery was a king by the name of Solomon. Many, many centuries after Confucius, many might have made mistakes given to this standard. He's accredited for this standard.
But they say even if you even one thing you look for is about the balance is
they see they were trying to break through what we call the pre-agricultural language, pre-philosophy language in a specific scientific language. Evolved to make it more functional, more practical. But again, most of these knowledge will not be socialistic, synagogism, capitalism, or religion processes. So we can't blame it that we have to evolve to that. We wouldn't realize or appreciate it if we didn't evolve to that, through the religious origin of things. We're up to the spiritual level. We're starting out with the basics. We still have to evolve. It's not that you're throwing away religion, you're throwing away the churchianity of it, and keeping the spirituality of it. Real Christianity, real integrated process, real actual science. Now the science doesn't make it mechanical, that is so liberating, so spiritual, that every act, breath, spiritual, but you don't need that to live through the nitty gritty of it. Then you will get the feeling of respect for others. You can start off emotionally, and then impact something's virtue. See what I mean? If you start off emotionally evolving the conscious understanding, then it's not why me. It's why not me. You see? Then you take on the responsibility of picking up your own cross and carrying it. So that's what we do. And time, place, season, or heaven. Now, the third mood, look back at ourselves over the centuries of the dawn of time and then the if you make anything and you want it to function, you'd have to leave a book of instructions. Then one comes along to use it. That's common sense. Him the outer manifestation